The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
Nice to see you all here tonight. Is it anybody's first time meditating tonight? You're all well accustomed to this. That's good. Okay, so with that, if we're all well accustomed, following Langdon's outline, we'll start the meditation now. I'm going to start by settling into our seat. Noticing the weight of our body that presses down against the seat. Take a moment to scan through your body and look through your body. Notice how the spine is sitting. It should be reasonably erect and lifted slightly, but not overly rigid. The shoulders back and relaxed. Notice if there's any tension or tightness there. Just make some small adjustments. And also with our neck and our head in alignment with our spine. The head slightly being pulled up. The muscles in the face soft and relaxed. If there is any squinting or tension, just see if you can let that all hang loose. Just take a moment or two to scan your attention around your body. Noticing the pressure or temperature, tingling, the weight, all these different sensations in your body as it simply sits here and breathes. And as you observe sensations in the body, see if you can also notice all the different feelings as your breath comes in and out. How your whole body seems to move just with this simple act of breathing. In some way, like blowing a breath into a balloon and it expands. And then contracts as you breathe back in. See if you can notice this whole body breathing. if you've drifted off in any way, and to re-establish your mindfulness again anew. Start again. It's quite normal that we drift. That we slip into kind of a dream-like state. And we wake up from that from a different person. So if you're meditating and you drift and dream like this, whenever you finally wake up anew, just start again. whatever meditation object that you're using. Just see if you can let your awareness sink into it even further. Your awareness become one and unified with the object. All other things fall away. Sounds, feeling in your body, even thoughts, we all start to take a back seat and drift further and further into the distance. The more you can sink in to your meditation object, this state of stillness. See if you can notice any of these slight occurrences of wanting. These thoughts that arise and formulate. Wanting something to be a particular way. Or trying to push something else away. Slight movements of wanting or aversion. And what happens to this wanting, this fabrication, when you become aware of it? Where is this wanting or aversion arising from? And who does it serve? Is there a space between wanting and aversion? between trying to pull something in or push something away. Is there a state between that? Or underneath that? And what's that state of neither wanting nor not wanting? What's that space like? Very good. Hope you had a nice meditation. It's a nice quiet evening here. Anybody has any questions or things they'd like to discuss, you can more than welcome to bring it up now. Anything online to get the party started?
There is an online question. Thank you, Ajahn. Yeah. When we do loving kindness meditation for ourselves and we seek to be kind to our past and present selves, isn't that contradictory to the idea of non-self?
Yeah, really good question. Technically, it's contradictory to this idea of a continuous agent across time. But the idea behind, so for anybody that, just to clarify for anybody that doesn't know, last week on the Friday nights, we did, kindness towards yourself. And some people find this sort of difficult to do. They think of themselves now and they think, oh, well, I'm, you know, not that great of a person, or it's very hard to be kind to yourself in the present. So one technique to get around that a little bit, you think of yourself when you were younger, or you maybe even think of yourself when you're a small child. And we see that, you know, this child is about to go through many different things in their lives. They have everything ahead of them, but you really want the best for that child. Or that instantiation of yourself when you were a teenager or 5 years ago. And so sometimes for some people, it's a little bit easier to show kindness for themselves in somewhat of a third person perspective. So it's, again, it's just a technique that you use. Now, we're back to the question of, well, isn't that contradictory to not self? Yeah, obviously it is. You know, the self that was you when you were a small infant or when you were a teenager, you know, that's gone now. So obviously it's gone now. So there's nothing really to direct that towards. But if we remember that these things, that they're just techniques for you to actually build that emotive state within the mind. It's simply just a technique to build kindness within the mind in the present moment. And to develop kindness and acceptance towards whatever instantiation of this psychophysical phenomena that you find yourself inhibiting right now. It's just a way to modulate that to some extent. So, yeah, it's sort of, in a way, contradictory to not self, but you know, contradictory might be, contradictory is a fine word for it, but you can think of other ways where other examples where it's like, well, we can look back with gratitude to somebody in our lives, for somebody that did something for us in the past. Now, if we really take the version of no self seriously, you know, there's no me here now, there's no me in the past, there's no this other person in the past. The action that this person did is been gone. And so, well, we could sort of argue as well, well, the, or we could think that, oh, well, gratitude's useless. It's absolutely useless then. But again, this is about bringing about these kinds of wholesome states of mind in the presence, in the present, in order to uplift the mind in some kind of way, as to clarify the mind further going forward. So what we're doing while we're doing this is bringing these mind states up now, so it becomes the cause for further letting go in the future, because the mind has been buoyed. So it's, yeah, if we look at this from a purely pragmatic perspective, is yeah, obviously, yeah, you're giving kindness to a memory and all these kinds of things. So that's obviously not self. But again, if we think of the objective of why we're doing it, is to build the heart up in the present, so we're actually putting in the right kinds of causes, so we can eventually start to let go this attachment to the self and to really actually start to see through and to non-self. So yeah, it's a really good question, and I'm going to think about this a lot more, because when somebody gives me a question like this, it's like I'm sort of rambling a little bit at the moment because I'm thinking through it in real time, but I'm going to think about it a lot more because that's a really good question. Yeah.
Are there any questions in the room? We do have one more online question, Arjun.
Yep.
Dear Arjun, could you please explain what you meant when you mentioned the space between the pulling and the pushing? Thank you. You don't remember that you said it, perhaps?
Nope.
No.
No, I do. So the idea is something along the lines of, was when we're sitting meditating, when we're sitting meditating and the mind is really calm, we can start to see these slight movements of the mind, how the mind starts to move in different ways. And usually it moves in a way of like, you know, oh, I want something to happen, or I don't want this other thing to happen. So the mind's always sort of being sort of shifted, you know, in Buddhist terminologies, we call this like tanha and dosa as well, like lobha and dosa. So greed and hatred, or greed and aversion in some kind of way. So the mind's always shifting between this kind of desire and aversion. And so if we start to notice this movement towards grit, towards desire, or this notice this movement towards aversion, we can start to see, well, this is the thing that, you know, even at this very still basis, you get these like tiny movements, and you can see, oh, well, this is how this whole thing starts to spiral out of control, and it starts to get into really big wants or really big aversions. But it all starts here at this sort of inflection point where these tiny movements. Now, what do I mean by the space between that? Well, there is this point where when the mind is still, either of those arise. There's this kind of stillness there where there's no sort of wanting things to be another way, or disliking things in another way. So there's this kind of space between these two poles. And if we can sit and we can rest in that, then there's no desire or aversion that arises in the mind, and the mind can become very, very still and tranquil. So that's, you know, essentially what I meant. And this is a temporary state, but the more we can still our minds, and the more we can sort of, we can still it to this point where there's a slight movement of desire, and you can just sort of see it's like, okay, this is desire just sort of comes and just dissipates. And then there's a space there between that. And then, well, maybe there's a slight aversion just sort of like rises a little bit and dissipates. You know, that's when we can start to see is like there's this space between desire and aversion. And if we rest in this spot, then this is like a pure peace. This is a pure acceptance. This is a pure kind of stillness, because it's not tainted in any kind of way by desire or aversion. So if we do this more and more, and we can make this space broader and broader, then, you know, then you're starting to make, you're starting to feel like this, well, there's this kind of progression on the path. And if we can just sort of continue to do this and start to see, it's like, well, this is how, you know, all the happiness and suffering and things I want, things I don't want, the big hates that I have, the big wants that I have, all, it all just sort of emanates out of here. But if I know that there's a place that's between that, there's a space that's still in between that, you know, then I don't have to be pulled around by these things. So, yeah, it's just this noticing that there is this space of freedom between desire and aversion. Glad I remembered that. Anybody have any final questions, comments, concerns? Yeah. Yeah, for sure, for sure. I'm going to repeat it. Yep. 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 Yeah, so the comment was, you know, that, you know, a way to think about that, a way to think about that space is, did you say like a pure silence or?
Pool.
A pool of silence. Yeah. And you could see it in this kind of way. It's this, you know, the kind of the ripples of the waves kind of thing. So yeah, we could see this as a pool of silence in some way. Whatever, you know, again, whatever analogy sort of works for you. Yeah.
If we want to stay in that space between the desire and aversion, is that to let go any of those thoughts?
Yeah.
So be able to attain stillness in the space, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, obviously, yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal, is to try to stay in that state. But it's also very hard to stay in that state. A lot of the times it's easier to stay in that state when the mind is very calm and you're sitting meditation and you're really just watching the machinations of the mind. It's harder to do that, obviously, when you're like crossing the road and there's cars zooming past you and all these kinds of things. But yeah, this is the kind of state of equanimity that we're trying, in some kind of way, we're trying to develop. We're not trying to get, where we're attempting to move towards this space where we're not getting pulled around by our likes and our dislikes. So how do we stay in that state longer? Well, we just have to keep practicing. The more we practice, the whole thing isn't just this kind of, I just observe and then there's liking or disliking and I stay in this state of equanimity and then, you know, then I move closer and closer towards enlightenment. You know, we still have to try to, in some way, look at the causes of our desire and aversion as well. You know, these kind of ripples, they have a root cause. And if we're not dealing with the root cause, you know, they're still going to come up, even though we might still them for a period of time. So we also have to be not only resting in this space, but as we rest in this space and we start to see them appearing every, you know, the desire and the aversion appearing, we also have to see, it's like, well, what's the thing that's causing that as well? You know, where's that emanating from? You know, is it, you know, is it this kind of, you know, this kind of sense of me here at the center of experience that wants, you know, that wants this thing to be this different way or wants it to be another way? So there's always like a deeper lever, sorry,
a deeper layer to go towards, to peel back of like, well, what is the thing that's causing this desire and aversion? So resting in that space is, it's good. It's good, but it's not enough. You know, we still have to delve deeper into the desire or the aversion as well once we're in that kind of state of stillness. And once the mind starts to move a little bit. So does that answer the question or was that?
Yes, okay. Yeah, thank you.
That's good. Nobody has any desires to ask questions. You're in this like quantumous state where it's like, oh, I don't need to ask questions. It's good.
Thank you, Ajahn. There's a comment that I was feeling restless during most of the meditation, but managed to have some peace and stillness.
Nice.
And another very quick question. Is Ajahn planning to start any sutta study sessions?
I'm not planning to, no. Just the quick answer to that is no. There's plenty of people that are a lot more qualified than me to actually do that, that are around. Ajahn Brahmali does a lot of these things. So Ajahn Brahmali's things are fantastic. So, unfortunately, no, I'm not really planning to do anything. I have a lot of other things on my plate at the moment. So that's another thing on my plate at another point in time, maybe.
Thank you, Ajahn. I think we're all done.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll call it a night then. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Get a bit of an early mark tonight. Hopefully you go in stillness, go in equanimity. If somebody cuts you off tonight, I can see the anger arising. Or you might be wanting, really want dinner now. You're okay to follow those things. So, okay. All the best, everyone.